On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Yay.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we go.
Hold on tight. All right. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Now, you're not going to interrupt me anymore, are you?
Whatever.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's tonight. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Seriously. Oh, my God. Seriously? Oh, my God. Oh, baby. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. It's the Becky LaHunt Show. I am Becky. She's LaHunt. That was close. Welcome to the program. You know, I don't give a shit. I'm enjoying myself. So, you know, if you can't enjoy yourself, who can you enjoy? How can other people enjoy you if you don't enjoy yourself? That's the motto of life, isn't it? If you don't act happy, how can people around you be happy? Holy crap, man, what a revelation. If you're not friendly and beaming, how do you expect people around you to be friendly and beaming? They can't be. It's you, man. It was you all the time, and you never realized it. You were walking around life thinking that, oh, all this stuff's going to just come to me. I'm just going to stand there, and people are going to come up to me and make me good, and I'll be a result of them. And you wasted all that time walking this planet, figuring that I'll just bump into stuff and it'll work out for me because the stuff I bump into will be cool. It'll rub off on me and I'll be bumpable and it'll be wonderful. If I see a woman standing there, she'll have sex with me. If I see a guy who has a cute little bum, which is apparently all women care about, oh, here's a pretty face, here's pretty eyes. No, he's got a cute bum. That's it, man. That's all you want. No. Why don't we just walk backwards? Why don't men just walk backwards? That way women can just be satisfied in that sense and not have to turn around and look at things. Guys don't care. Guys, do you have a vagina? Yes, I do. You're in, my friend. You are part of my club. Thank you. Vagina? Yeah. Do you have a vagina? No, I don't. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't talk to you because I can't. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a shame. Oh, that's a shame. Did you lose your vagina in a boating accident? No, actually, it was a riding accident on a horse. Ooh, those can hurt. I know. I once was in an archery class, and somebody shot an arrow through my testicles, and now I can't use them or have children, so I know how you feel about the riding accident. That's a horrible thing. How did you lose your vagina? Was it just like, it was a twig. It was a bad twig. It was a twig and, ouch. Ron, seriously, the Becky LaHunt Show was a better idea than this. No, don't you think I don't know that? Or I do know that? Double negatives? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that works. I took a step closer to my whatever attitude. If I ever write a book, which I think I'm going to do because I want to express myself and I'm also extremely bored, that's when you write a book. And I'm probably going to title it something with the word whatever in it. As I've said so many times, I think whatever is such a magical word. I use it in my opening with the British lady, Nicola. She's just a wonderful woman. I've never met her, but I like her voice a lot. Anyway, whatever is my new mantra. You know, I will sit in a room, I will meditate with my wrists facing the air and my palms skyward, and I will close my eyes and tilt my head back and go, whatever, om. I don't know what that ohm thing is. I don't know why we're chanting about electrical currents. I have no idea. I guess because it's an energy thing. I don't know. I could Google it, but I'm so sick of Googling things. I'm just sick of that. Hey, Ron, do you know the answer to this? No, I'll go Google it. Hey, do you understand why? No, I'll go Google it. Do you have any idea why? No, shut up and just go Google it. I'll Google everything. You say any word and I will Google you. I don't, you know, you are nothing until I've Googled you. Checked out your reputation, checked out your background, checked out your things. I'm Googling you. You're Googled, baby. I got so much to talk about. This is going to go on forever today. Oh, man. Anyway, I've reached a new plateau in my whatever, which I'm writing a book about. The older that I get, and I've got a lot of time left, baby. Every day we have a little bit less time, but let's not get into that. Anyway, I've reached another whatever plateau. I don't love coffee, but I drink it because it's what you have to do. It's in the rule book. It's chapter 2, Leviticus, in the Bible, thou shalt drink coffee. Yeah, don't mess with that, man. So I drink coffee, not happily, man. I am not happy about this. Not thrilled about having to drink coffee as a result of my bureaucratic leaders, which I mean television commercials. They make sure that you realize that if you don't drink coffee, you are not part of the human race. You are not to go through your day without drinking this crap. It's, sorry, man, that's just the way it is. And if you don't drink coffee, I feel very sorry for you in all of your relationships. For years and years, I would drink coffee with a little splash of 1% milk in it. Because they wanted to be so careful about my health. Yesterday, I bought some half and half. I'm never going to go the whole way, but I'll go half the way. I don't think I'll ever reach the whole cream thing. The half and half, I said to myself, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, you know what? A little bit of fat in me ain't going to hurt. I've already got some fat. What's a little more going to do? And it is richer and creamier, and it makes the coffee experience much better. But let's face it, is it the coffee or is it the creamer? It's the creamer. And I used to put that, you know, when you work in an office, I spent 13 years of my life working in an office. I had a good time. I was the manager, so I got to do whatever I wanted, and sometimes didn't even wear pants, you know. So it was pretty cool, man. Yeah, I joked around. I only hired people that I liked. It was like hiring friends, you know. Like, okay, I'm going to have a microcosm of my life for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, so I'm going to hire people that I like. Why not? I'm going to hire people that I get along with. I'm going to hire people whom I can have a conversation with, who are halfway intelligent, have a great sense of humor, make me feel good about being alive. I'm the manager, and I will do that. And that's what I did. And for 13 years, I fucking partied every day. We got the job done. We did a wonderful job and stuff. And when the bosses came in, like from out of town, you know, the corporate leaders, we were very staunch, and we weren't kidding around. But when they left, it was like, hey, buddy, come on over. Let's do this. Come on. Hey, what's going on in your life, man? And we go out for drinks after work. This is how close I was to my staff. And in management, you're not supposed to get close to your staff. You know what? It worked for me because my staff loved me and I loved them. They would do anything for me. I did anything for them. Made sure they got paid really well. They made sure that everything was going really well. And I looked really good as a manager. And it was a beautiful marriage of business for 13 years. So don't give me that management crap. And if they started to take advantage of me, I just say, hey, man, let's be real. Let's cut this out, man. You know, don't make me look bad, man. I got your back. You got to have mine. They go, yeah, Ron, we're sorry. We're sorry. Let's get back to it, man. So I've switched to. So back then, they had the dairy creamers in a package. It was dried powder, man. Why am I talking like that? What's wrong with me? I'm doing the Becky LaHunt show today, and that's the way Becky talks. It was a dairy creamer in a little package, and you ripped open the package, and this white powder came out. It was like cocaine coffee stuff, and you put it in your coffee, and it would like turn the coffee white, And it was pretty tasty, to be honest with you. But for all those years, I'm drinking like chemical composition stuff. I mean, I'm just drinking chemicals. And I'm like, ooh, I'm surprised I'm still alive. So now I get the real, I could suck on a cow's udder and be healthier than that powder crap. So today I decided that I was
going,
oh, stop it. No, not that much. Not that much. But today I decided, hey, you know, half and a half cream in a cardboard container thing. Real cream. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm a man. I'm Becky LaHunt. I'm being very careful. Because I'm a man. Because I'm a man. Anyway, that's it. Have a nice day. We'll see you later.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today.
Okay, you know, I promised myself when I started doing this podcast thing that I was going to get dressed every day. And I was going to go do my podcast in regular business clothes, and that would motivate me to be a normal human being again. Because basically, to do a podcast, you need the investment in the equipment, which I've done rather nicely here. A comfortable chair, a nice, good quality microphone, plenty of good people such as yourselves, which we've been fortunate enough to be building over the months, which has been wonderful. So thank you so much. I remember you at Christmas time in my thoughts, that's all. And you need your brain to be flowing pretty good. You got to get your brain going pretty good. You can't just sit there and go, oh, it's a beautiful day. I went shopping today. No, oh, no, you can't. Oh, damn those construction workers. I have to drive around them and it is so inconvenient. You can't do that. You can't do that. So you got to be fluffy, light, wonderful, pleasant, and theatrical, and all those things that I try to be every single day with you, every weekday, not weekends. So I figure I'm going to get dressed, man. I'm going to dress like I would if I were like meeting people, because I'm meeting you every day. Well, that lasted like 2 days. So what am I wearing? I'm wearing sweatpants, and I never wear sweatpants. Do you know why I'm wearing sweatpants? Because I'm getting really lazy. And for those that know me personally, Ron, you're getting really lazy? What? That makes no sense. That's like achieving something that you've achieved like all your life, and now that's not an achievement anymore because you've always been lazy, you lazy fuck. And I say, don't call me lazy. But I am. So sweatpants, a t-shirt, and I'm so sorry about that, I really am. Yeah, I know, this is more of a tuxedo kind of show, I realize that, and I apologize. But, hey, that's just where it's at, man, you asked me, and I'm telling you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Stop asking
what
me.
What are you wearing today?
Oh, today? Oh, today you mean.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
There was nothing on television yesterday afternoon, and I had some free time. So I turned the television on. And I watched golf. I'm so sorry, I'm admitting that to you. I watched golf. They had the Masters on, which I don't know what the hell that means. I don't know. The Masters of golf, I suppose, which is like being the king shits of diarrhea. I mean, I don't really see the difference, to be honest with you. But anyway, so I watched golf and took a nap, because golf, always, within like 1 minute of watching golf, I am sleeping, man. I am fast asleep. Golf is the most serene, boring thing in the world. And it's because of those damn announcers talking really soft and talking very, very calmly with a beautiful green lawn on my TV set. And people who clap politely instead of going, yeah, 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 they go, it's just all too relaxing. Those guys, and sometimes there's a female talking about golf, not frequently. They haven't really gotten females into the golf announcement thing yet. You know, that's like, we're behind. We're so behind. Society is so behind in female golf announcers. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. We are such a slow behind society. I have a slow behind. But it's just so, and he's about to, he's on the green, and he's choosing a putter, because that's usually the club that they use there. Frank, what do you think?
Well, he's got the putter in his hand, and it really does, you'll notice that his swing is going to be gradual and light and fluffy and airy, and he's going to take a swing, and it's going to be really, really beautiful when he swings the club. Joseph, what do you think?
Yeah, he's got that club, and he's gripping that in such a, he's got a great grip on the club, and it's just a beautiful day here. The sun is shining, and everything's so green, and it's just, he's got a great, great control of what he's doing, and it's just so, it's such a beautiful setting for a putt like this that he's made so many times. I'm sorry. He still hasn't made the putt yet, but he'll be making the putt in about 3 to 4 minutes from now, and he's just wearing some beautiful pants. They are, his butt is just really curvaceous and really, really.
That's what golf is to me. I played golf a few times with my friend John Shanahan, who's a lovely person. And the only reason that I would play golf at all is because of him. He enjoys golf in a mild sense, as well as I do, but in a far more aggressive sense than I, as I don't care at all. I don't think he does either, to be honest with you. I think he was just doing the golf thing. But he's good at it, and I'm not. He has clubs. I don't. That's how you know. Ron, you want to play golf? Yeah. Can I put clubs in a paper bag? Is that cool to do? No. But the fun thing is that John's a comedian and a writer, so everything is, you know, it's fun. It's just fun. If it was just walking the course and, you know, hitting the ball around, probably not so much. But, you know, it's just a good time. And every time you walk by that that little machine there, it's like a machine, a little bucket with some water and a little water coming out of it, and it's a ball washer. And I just, look, you know, I'm not a child anymore, but I will tee-hee-hee every time I pass a ball washing station. How can you not? I mean, you can try to be sophisticated and not laugh, but you just got to picture yourself standing there under the pipes washing your balls off. And you know what I'm talking about. How can you not? It's just one of the delights of life. It's just such an ironic sign, an ironic station. How can you not wash your balls off literally, or have some kind of Ziggy cartoon being totally lewd and ridiculous? It's just a wonderful station. So good. Anyway, that's my whole golf experience. We went to Strawberry Hill. Do you remember this, John? The Strawberry Hill Golf Course in Whitman, Massachusetts. I found my thrill playing golf on Strawberry Hill. And I didn't see one strawberry. Saw a lot of ball washing stations, but not one strawberry, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why they call it Strawberry Hill. Perhaps at one time in its history, it was a hill that had strawberries on it. I guess
somebody had come back from the Stop and Shop and got strawberries, bought strawberries, and they spilled all over the hill, and I found my strawberries all over Strawberry Hill. And, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill and came down, I think, with three under par. They came down three under par, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what that means. Yeah. And Jack washed his balls off. Jack and Jill washed his balls on the third hole, ladies and gentlemen, which was actually Jill. Thank you so much. This has been a disgusting part of the program, and I apologize for every single part of it, except for everything that I just said.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay, it's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Honey barbecue sauce, along with boneless wings, house-made chips, and Boston's best sweet potato fries.
Guys, it's time to man up, grow a pair, and eat what you want to eat.
The Boston Burger Company, Davis Square, Somerville, and Boylston Street, Boston.
Make your...
Whatever.
Did I die and go to heaven? Is that what happened? Is that why I'm bombarded by all this crap all around me? Did I die and go to heaven or something? Is that what it was? When did this happen? When did this happen? I don't even recall any trauma in my life. Something must have happened at some point and I wasn't aware of it. Which is hard to believe because I'm usually aware of everything, unfortunately. I have that kind of mind. I have a 360-degree head. I see everything around me. I feel everything around me. It's a burden, but a gift.
I am not frightened of dying. Anytime I do, I don't mind. Why should I be?
You know, if you're a creative person and you feel like you're outcasted and you don't fit in the world, it's the world that doesn't fit in you. They're the outcasts. You're the gifted one. Songs reminds me of my first sexual encounter, and the girl just wouldn't shut up. She was enjoying herself, I don't know. Alright, take it easy. Alright. Yeah, I know. I am pretty sexually incredible, aren't I? Don't you think? Yeah, me too. Let's light one up, baby. That was something, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, that's why they call me the bulldozer. Mm-hmm. That's why they call me the fictitious human being. That's why they call me Mr. Ron. Oh, I know. Oh, you having another one?
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. All right. You want a towel? You want a towel? You all right? Oh, take it easy. Oh, man. Wow, this is like 50 shades of orgasms here. Like, all right, that's enough. I'm sorry. I am sorry about that. All right, okay. Anyway, it was great being with you today. Oh, you having another one? Oh, my God, how many can you have? Is it my bum? Are you staring at my bum? Is that what it is? These verbal orgasms are driving me nuts, honey. Oh, sorry. Oh. Sorry to ruin it for you right there. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I've been told. I've been told about it. Oh, there's another one. Wow. You are full of them today, huh? All right. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years. A true beer drinking experience. Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap?
Oh my God.
Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
We sponsored by Fockenhalter. Fockenhalter. I can't even say it. Yeah, that's our sponsor today. E-B-B-B-B-B-B. Hey, the guy that does our commercials there, John Shanahan, who I alluded to in the golf commercial. Not the golf commercial, the golf story. The golf, G-O-L-F story. He's a music aficionado. He does a musical review, Hypnagogue. Google that. Hypnagogue. He is helping to organize a concert that's taking place actually tomorrow night. April 14th, and it's taking place in the town of Marshfield, Massachusetts. I don't know where you live. I totally don't care, but if you're in that area, this is tomorrow night, Tuesday night. It's a different kind of concert. It takes place in a church, which is an incredible setting. It's not a religious show or anything like that, but the setting of it is usually pretty cool when they do concerts there. Robert Rich is going to be performing. He is being brought into the area to perform. It's doesn't do it often. It's pretty cool music, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to play this for you right now, the promo. It's taking place tomorrow night. You can get tickets at the door at this concert venue. Go. Celebrate spring. This is it's actually very comfortable, very interesting music. Open your horizons, man. Here's the deal for that.
The Other Worlds Concert Series presents ambient music legend Robert Rich in his first ever Boston area performance, Tuesday night, April 14th at Sanctuary Church in Marshfield. Immerse yourself in deep ambient drifts and world music influences in a truly unique concert experience. Tickets are just $15. Reserve yours by calling 781
1-800-956-0248. Ambient music legend Robert Rich. Tuesday, April 14th, Sanctuary Church, Marshfield.
Ambient music is like really, it's relaxing, it's interesting. There's like more depth to it than almost anything else. Get into different types of music, man. This is going to be a very, very cool concert. You're not going to need earplugs or anything like that. Very, very cool. It's taking place at Sanctuary Church Tuesday night, April 14th. For tickets, 781-956-0248, or just show up at the door. $15 a ticket. That's like, this is like listening to a whole concert for the price of a movie. Seriously, it's pretty cool. So go on down, support my friend John Shanahan, who will put this thing together. He'll do more of that, and we can get more into great musical concerts by getting into this if you live in the New England area. It's quite a treat, quite an opportunity. Okay, let's speak to our guest today, an established guy who is a little weird, David Bach. It's tax time. As a matter of fact, taxes would be due on Wednesday, April 15th, which is not far away, or it could be have passed a long time ago, depending on when you're listening to this show. But it straps couples, man. You know, when you have to pay and when you got to do the taxes and the bills come, and it doesn't even have to do with taxes, man. It's just a time when you look at all your expenditures are right in front of your face, the things that you bought and the bills that you paid. And it's like, David says that couples fight more about finances than they do about anything else. You know, why are you spending this so much? Well, then why are you doing this? Why are you spending this much money on the strip club? You know, it's true. So David Bach, let's say hello to him and get the lowdown, get the skinny, get the fatty on this. Let me try to raise him here. David Bach is vice chairman of Edelman Financial and author of Smart Couples Finish Rich, which is a nice idea. He's touring. He'll be in our area next month, and we'll remind you about that when it gets closer to the date. But we'll tell you right now, it's May 14th, Thursday, May 14th at the Dedham Hilton on Allied Drive in Dedham. And he joins us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be on the show with you.
Pleasure to have you here. So this is this is for couples, basically, this concept. Is that right?
This is, and it's amazing because this is something that I've been teaching now for almost two decades. And Smart Couples Finish Rich is a book that came out about 10 years ago. Over a million copies of this book is in print in the U.S. and all over the world, and we've had hundreds of thousands of couples go through the seminar. So this program has really become very powerful. And what it does, Ron, is it brings couples together on the issue of money, and that's an issue that for many couples divides couples. We see that the number one cause of divorce in this country is actually fighting over money.
Sure.
So my mission has been go out and teach couples how to stop the money fights and instead get on the same page financially.
Do you find that a lot of couples, a husband or a wife or whatever the two may be, hide their finances from each other for, like, ego purposes?
Yeah, well, you know, you get a little bit of that, you know, the shopping where the stuff gets hidden in the closet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that, you know, they call it financial infidelity. I don't think that that's really the big issue. The big issue for most couples is that we marry our financial opposites. So if you like to save, you'll fall in love with somebody who likes to spend.
Yeah.
We're super busy. We don't have time always to talk about money. And when we do talk about money, it's when we're paying the bills. And those conversations about money lead to huge fights. So when you look at, you know, what do happy couples do? They don't talk about money when they're paying the bills. They actually set aside a separate time to talk about their financial goals and their dreams. And I call that a money date.
Okay. So what about budgeting? I mean, we hear about budgeting in government and in businesses. Does that work for the household or is not really?
Well, we know it doesn't work in government, right? And the reality is it doesn't work in the household either. Experts come on radio shows and TV shows and say, what you need to do is get a budget. Yeah. Ridiculous. I can tell you as a financial advisor who has worked with thousands of couples, and our firm works with 26,000 families right now, The people that come into our office who have been successful financially, they have not done it with a budget.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it by saving money automatically. The single most important decision couples have done that we see who have $500,000 or more in savings
mm-hmm.
is they maxed out their 401k plan at work. And if they didn't have a 401k plan, then they automatically moved money from their paycheck directly into a retirement account before
mm-hmm.
they could touch the money.
Yeah.
And the average savings that couples have, that we've seen, that couples do, they're successful, they save at least 10% of their gross income right off the top.
Okay. So does a couple need a financial planner, or is it something that they can maneuver through themselves?
You know, it really depends. I think when you get to be over the age of 40 and you have real assets, what we see is couples who have over $100,000
mm-hmm.
in investable assets hire financial advisors and are happier because of it. And the reason is, one, you've got another person in between the two of you telling you where you need to go. A good financial planner will organize everything in your life financially, pull it all together, show you where you stand financially, show you where you're spending money. They're not just about the investments, they're about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Your will, your insurance, have you protected your family correctly? Those are the kind of things that a good financial planner can do. And what a good financial planner can do is keep you accountable. And good financial planners meet with you at least once a year, often twice a year,
mm-hmm.
and that's the money date. That's where the two of you come together with your planner and go, hey, well, how are we doing? Are we making
mm-hmm.
progress? Are we going backwards? Are we going ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Good financial planner can keep you on track, which is why I'm a big advocate of hiring a financial advisor.
It isn't like having a family and having family finances, isn't it kind of like running a business?
It is like running a business. And, you know, a great example I use is that most families have what I call a CFO, or somebody in charge of paying the bills
mm-hmm.
and watching the money. The key, however, and that's okay to have one person do the actual work,
mm-hmm.
the key is for the other person to be involved. So if one person's paying the bills or tracking the investments, the other one, you got to come together once a month and go through, how do we do?
Mm-hmm.
If you're working with a financial planner, the two of you must meet with that financial planner together. It's absolutely critical that as a business owner, because you both own the business, you do this together. Same thing with the CPA, same thing with the attorney. You got to look at these people as being on your team
mm-hmm.
and that your team, and you do not want to make this mistake that I see so many couples make where they delegate it to one person, and then that one person typically dies first. And that one person who dies first, the other person has no idea what's going on
right,
with finance.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, ladies, if you've delegated this to your husband, don't delegate the responsibility of knowing where the money is going. You need to be involved
yeah.
with it.
I mean, I don't want to be morbid or anything, but, you know, it's people don't really think about it till they hit their 60s or something. But, you know, anything can happen anytime. And once you have a family, or once you're a couple, I guess you should start, like, right away discussing it and dealing with it.
You know, Ron, you're so right. First of all, the average age of widowhood in this country is 55.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
You know, and it's shocking. And that's because, look, first of all, a lot of women marry men older than them.
Yeah.
Men pass away first. And
why?
I always tell ladies, look, you had a 9 out of 10 chance that you're going to be managing the money at some point.
Yeah.
So don't wait until your 60s. When you get married, the first thing you do is you get a will. 50% of American couples today do not have wills.
Right.
And then many couples who do have a will, the will's out of date.
Yep.
And again, this just goes back to basic financial planning. We meet couples that have kids, and they have no life insurance.
Yeah.
And, you know, we recommend term insurance, the cheapest form of insurance you can buy so you can get a protection plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is financial planning. It sounds complicated. What I can tell you, Ron, is that couples come to our seminar. In 90 minutes, I go through all of this. We show them how to organize their entire financial life in less than an hour, how much money they should be putting away in retirement accounts, what mistakes not to make, and all that takes is 90 minutes. And then really meeting with financial planner, a good financial planner in a couple meetings
mm-hmm.
can get your entire financial life organized and get you on track to go towards your goals.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, why wouldn't you?
Well, I think that there's a lot of fear out there. Look, there are not all financial planners are great. Let's just call a spade. You have a lot of financial advisors that have what I call a conflict of interest. They're selling commission-based products. People are afraid of being burned. The way to protect yourself from being burned, hire a fee-based financial advisor. Hire somebody who, as a fiduciary, has to be transparent, that doesn't work on commissions and works on a fee.
Mm-hmm.
And call us. Go to edelmanfinancial.com. We've helped so many people around the country, this is what we do, or come to my seminar, learn more, or come to our website and take our webinar, which is free. Yeah. It's smartcouplesLive.com.
It's interesting because you're talking about a subject matter that most people know little or nothing about. You go to school, you learn how to read, write, and all that kind of stuff, but nobody really teaches you how to financially take care of yourself through your life. It just doesn't come up.
Well, you're right, Ron. The biggest mistake is we don't teach this in school. Right. And, you know, myself and my partner, Rick Edelman, between the two of us, I've written 12 books. He's written 8 books. We have 8 million books out there.
Mm.
Our last 25, you know, Ron, Rick spent 26 years of his life. I've spent 20 years of my life all in financial education, going out, teaching across the country, really what is basic financial literacy. The things that I teach, truthfully, you should have known all this before you graduated from high school. And it's, you know, I hope someday we get financial education mandatory in the school systems, because these are the kind of things you know. When you go get a job, if you don't check off the right box, sign up for your retirement account, and then you don't check off the right box for the investments that you put in that account, that mistake can change your entire financial future.
Yeah.
But hey, the good news is you can go out and get some education on your own. And instead of playing the blame game, you can play the fix-it game.
That's true. I mean, you know, people are walking around, they don't even know how to tie their shoes.
Well, you can use that. That's why my five-year-old's got Velcro tennis shoes.
Hey, I got Velcro, too, because it's damn easier than tying. Anyway, hey, if they invent it, use it, right?
That's right.
Okay. So this is happening in this area here on Thursday, May 14th. From 7 to 9 p.m. at the Hilton Dedham, Boston, on Allied Drive in Dedham. How do people connect with that and get prepared to go to the seminar or ask you any questions?
Sure, Ron. Thank you so much. If they go to our website, smartcouplesLive.com, that's the registration page. And let me give you guys a free coupon code.
All right.
If they go to smartcouplesLive, and then they use the code TOUR, T-O-U-R, they can come to the seminar for free.
And at
that seminar, I'm also going to give couples a copy of Smart Couples Finish Rich, and I'm going to be doing a book signing. And so it's all free. They just got to go to smartcouplesLive.com and put in the code TOUR.
Yeah. All right. You don't pay for the gas there, do you?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be there. Hopefully, I can get you to come by.
Hey, yeah. I mean, why not? Why not? Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you, and good luck to you. Maybe we'll talk again before the actual seminar comes up, or we'll run the interview again and get some people some help.
To.
Great.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day, Ron.
Take care, David.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He's adorable, isn't he? Thank you, David. He's adorable. I mean, I haven't seen his bum, but I assume that he's an adorable, adorable, well-spoken guy who... David, you're right, David. Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of our program today, the Bucky LaHunt Show, and I hope you like it. If you like the show, then address your comments to Ron. If you disliked intensely every moment of this horrible performance, then address them to Becky LaHunt. I don't know who she is. I made the name up. It is my alter ego in a female sense. By the way, Bruce Jenner is going to be interviewed on the air by Diane Sawyer, and he's going to reveal the fact that he wants to partially be a woman. All that kind of stuff, how it's the new Bruce, I don't know what you would call it now, but, and this has moved up in the rankings to the top spot of things that I truly don't care about, that I'm not even interested in. Will I watch the interview? Maybe in the sense of watching a pathetic thing happen. If you slow down because you see an accident on the side of the road, you slow down to see how bad the accident is. That's pretty much Bruce Jenner. Bruce, if you want to be pictured socially through the entire world, or at least this country, as a pathetic car incident, a crash on the side of the road, then good luck with that. Enjoy. You are my idol. Otherwise, I so much don't give a shit about you. It is not funny. So the fact that Diane Sawyer is interviewing you brings you down to the bottom of the pit, and Diane Sawyer probably even further down in that pit. If Diane Sawyer had an operation where there was a penis attached to her and she became a man, I so wouldn't care about that, but I'd find that a bit more interesting than a pathetic Kardashian participant making themselves even more pathetic than the person who invented the word pathetic meant it to mean. And that's pathetic. Hey, Bruce, you put yourself out there, man. You put yourself out there. Anyway. Hey, if a person wants to become a woman or dress like a woman or have operations to make them look like a woman, or they're more comfortable in some other kind of skin other than their own, fine, go for it. I totally don't care. I mean, be happy, whatever. I have no problem with you being whoever you want to be. If you're going to shove it in my face, however, we've got another thing to talk about. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Come on, say it.
Whatever.
There you go.